The running time for this Rain Hamcast podcast is 21 minutes 36 seconds with ID breaks at 9 minutes 59 seconds and 19 minutes 24 seconds. Echo Link and All-Star Timer resets at 2:43, 5:42, 8:44, the ID at 9:59, then 13:07, 16:14, another ID at 19:24 and final timer reset at 21:36.
The effects of meteorological highs and lows on VHF-UHF communications. This is the subject of Rain Hamcast podcast number 73 for August 6, 2022. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. While propagation on the amateur radio HF bands, those below 30 MHz, is subject to the rise and fall of solar activity, the VHF-UHF bands, those 50 MHz and up, are influenced by the weather here on terra firma. Amateur radio writer and instructor Gordon West, WB6NOA, has often experienced such meteorological highs and lows.
Did y'all see the sunrise this morning? Sort of came up there and you saw that brown air. You come to Los Angeles and we'll show you real brown air. If you've ever flown into Los Angeles, as you come around the corner and you begin to descend, you see this big brown mass of air hanging over the city. And when you get down to about 1,000 feet, you enter this brown mass. And if you look out the window, you'll see a seagull going. That is called the ozone layer, or sometimes called the marine layer. But more important, for those of you that fly, it is called the inversion layer. Well, how do we know the inversion layer is there? Well, many times you can see it by cloud cover. And here's another way of determining what our weather conditions are going to be. Anybody know what this is? Yeah, who said WeFax over here? That's good. That is weather facsimile. How many have a high-frequency radio? Yeah, with a high-frequency radio, a simple WeatherFax program for under $100, and you too can find out about what's happening with the weather systems. Now, there's all sorts of ways to get the weather systems. That's pretty hard on the ears. That's at 1696, 1696, if you're in building down converters and loop antennas. 1696 weather is on the air 24 hours a day, and you see weather shots all over the world brought to you by a relay satellite. And you get great weather reception there, although only about once an hour for about three or four shots do you see the United States.
36 millibar high was 800 nautical miles west of Portland.
Yeah, the 24-hour weather, right?
Pacific Northwest and the Great Basin.
The NOAA weather will many times tell you what's happening.
Was along the California interior with a 1007 millibar low near Yuma.
Lows and highs. Now, lows and highs play a very important part of what's happening. Lows and high-pressure systems is what influences local weather conditions. Now, every summertime, right about this time, high-pressure systems begin to form up. Okay, big high-pressure cells. And you can tell it's a high-pressure cell by looking at your local newspaper and looking for the letter H. Good. As opposed to the letter L. Good. All right, just checking. And when you see a high-pressure system, usually it's about 1030 to 1031 millibars. Now, when you have a whole bunch of high pressure stuck in a cell, the air is actually heavier than the air below it. So the air sinks. And when the air sinks, because it's heavier up high than down below, we call that sinking air, we call it subsidence. And as the air is sinking, it gets squished in between the air that's down here on Dayton, Ohio land. And what happens when you squish air? Who said heats? Who said heats? That was good. It heats up. And when we heat up air, we then begin to have stratification of the air. And something occurs. Now, you may think that sometimes radio waves will bounce or reflect or refract. Well, we'll take a look in just a few moments and see how, if you'll plug us into 110, how these little radio waves do their thing. So, sinking air begins to cover a widespread area. And when we have compressed air in a band, many times it's warmer than the air above it. Now, naturally, as we go higher in altitude, what happens to air? It gets
thinner.
That's right. It gets thinner. That's good. And it gets colder and it gets drier. At about 1,000 to 3,000 feet, many times something different will happen to this thin, cold, dry air. And that is, at about 1,000 feet, it'll become warmer. And because it's squished in there, it will become also more dense. And usually sometimes it's trapped with a lot of moisture. And what we have now is the classical inversion layer. Well, we've made studies and we found that when the inversion layer is 2 or 3 degrees warmer than the air below it, you see it. The smoke comes up and the smoke turns and goes at about 1,000 feet, goes horizontal. That's the inversion layer. When it gets to be about 4 degrees, you can feel it. Oh boy, hot, stagnant air. Typical of a high-pressure system, almost nothing happening. And when it gets to 8 to 10 degrees, how many on 2 meters? 2 meters? You begin to hear it, because when it gets 8 to 10 degrees, something different occurs within the inversion layer. Now, it takes, though, the right kind of weather condition to get the signals to form up. And what are the weather patterns that cause 2-meter signals to bend? Lows and highs. Now, lows and highs play a very important part of what's happening. High pressure system, 10 degree inversion layer, up about 1,000 feet. And many times we can see this on this type of weather facsimile imagery that's available on the worldwide bands. And how many of you have a worldwide radio? You can pick this stuff up every day for under $100 on 8 megs and 12 megs. When we see Hawaii down here, we see a hurricane down south. It usually, spinning counterclockwise, will bring up warm, moist air that overlies cold, dry air. And when you have this air stratification, many times it will cause an inversion layer to form. So when the inversion layer begins to form, we begin to hear signals in California all the way from Hawaii. Here, in this part of the world, you begin to hear signals coming up from Texas, as far west as Denver, and as far east as maybe the Atlantic coast. Usually down around 144, 170 to 180 are beacons. And beacons continuously transmit throughout the United States, actually throughout the world, their call signs over and over again. And one of the most widely received beacons over the furthest range, there's one down under, but here in the northern hemisphere, is the beacon on Hawaii. Signals from Hawaii go all the way from Hawaii to the mainland of the United States. 2 meters? Give me a break. 2 meters? 222? 432? 1270? Well, you'll hear in just a moment. And here is the first indication of a band opening on 2 meters. Listen carefully for the beacon. Are we nuts as hams? We will listen for hours to this. Your wife will come in, gentlemen, or ladies, your husband will come in going, "What are you listening to?" After a while, you hear your own call sign coming through. Yeah, he gave me a 5x9. Yeah. You don't hear squat. So you go outside. You're listening. You made sure you're right on the beacon frequency, 144, 174.2, and you've got your radio calibrated. Everybody's listening. If you have a directional antenna, you put it in the direction of the high-pressure system, and you just listen and listen to what appears to be nothing. Then all of a sudden, something happens. Yeah, I think I can hear a beacon coming through. Yeah, sure you can, right. All night long you listen to this. It's music to your ears. Finally you say, this is no good. You go out and mow the lawn, and then your better half comes in going, "Honey, there's something coming through on your receiver." 30 minutes later, from absolutely nothing. This beacon is coming in 2,500 miles on 2 meters, single sideband, all the way from Hawaii, all the way to Southern California. But maybe it's the guy down the street just getting back at you for blaming TVI on him playing like a low-power little beacon.
You're tuned to a 1998 Dayton Hamvention talk about the effects of meteorological highs and lows on VHF-UHF communications on ham radio. We'll conclude this presentation by amateur radio writer and instructor Gordon West, WB6NOA, in a moment.
You're listening to the Rain Hamcast on the rainreport.com and on the Rain Report page on YouTube.
This is Rain Hamcast podcast number 73 for August 6, 2022.
Well, in Hawaii, when they built this beacon, they didn't have a very regulated power supply. And when we held the key down at the very end of the beacon mode, the tone goes boop. So here it is. Listen for the boop. And this means it's official. That's official. The first thing we do as hams is we get on the telephone. What the hell's wrong with us? We should be hams. We should be on the radio. We get on the phone. We call over to Hawaii. We hear your beacon. Hawaii says to us, we know. We've been watching your television stations. We've been watching and listening to your FM signals for a couple of hours now. So we know that we can tell band openings because they go in both directions. They go from 2 meters from Hawaii to California and vice versa, California stations go to Hawaii. Now, they can't see television, but many Hawaiians will tune into our channel 2, 4, and 5, and will actually be able to hear some of the sync buzz coming from our TV station. So Hawaii knows that we're hearing them, and this beacon pattern now between California and Hawaii is open. Well, let's work some stations. So we have one ham in Hawaii. Actually, a bunch, but one is KH6HME. His name is Paul. He drives up in his vehicle up to the top of a extinct volcano that's really not extinct. It's Mauna Loa. It's 8,500 feet. What kind of ham would go to the top of a volcano, huh? What are we thinking here? Anyway, he goes up there, and here is what happens. He gets up there. Is that great? Is that the best contact you ever heard? No, I can barely hear him. It's going to get better. Okay. Because once the band forms up, usually a few minutes later. Al is 2,500 miles away on 2 meters running.
Got a Datsun pickup truck.
And then right when he gives the neat stuff, somebody always comes in on top of them. Isn't that great? Hi, the name here is... Oh, thank you very much. I just ruined that contact. 8 elements, 90 watts. So how many have at least 8 elements and 90 watts mobile? Yeah, but this is single sideband. So then Paul goes up on the hill. So the beacon will come in, and the results at first will not be great. And then about an hour later, the results get much better. In fact, after about 2 or 3 hours, now on single sideband, the signals are getting very good. Well, we all know that single sideband is certainly the mode to operate. But we asked Paul, let's just see if we could go and do something that they've never thought of before for those of us not on sideband. Now, how many do not have a single sideband 2-meter radio, just on FM? Not to worry, if you're just on FM, get off of the repeaters and onto the simplex frequency, because listen to what happens. 2,500 miles on 146.52. Listen to what happens. He's on single sideband, and we're both going to switch to FM to see if his signal will disappear.
Now I am on FM. This is King Henry 6 Hotel. Mike Echo on the island of Hawaii. Saying hello to everybody there in Southern California. How do you copy me, Gordon?
Now, the interesting thing is, many of the Hawaiians are also working through a Southern California repeater on Catalina Island. You can imagine the SoCal gang. You're where? Hawaii? Sure, go to heck. You're not in Hawaii. It takes him almost an hour to realize, I am talking all the way via repeater to Hawaii, but on single sideband, we can do more than that. Long-haul ducting is evidently not dependent just on the mode, but many times you can do FM. But you'd never want to do FM below 144.300. What are some good FM simplex channels? 146.52, 55, 46. Okay, but know your FM simplex channels and maybe get off of the repeaters and try some of those simplex channels for some of the additional things. Now, take a listen to this. Another band here.
Okay, tell everybody where you're located, Paula. We're recording now. Go ahead.
Okay, real good. You're coming up your signal strength.
See, this is a good ham. You ask him a simple question, you get an 8-hour answer, right? By the time he gets through, the band will be closed.
We're located on the side of the Mauna Loa, which is a volcano.
Now, this signal, 2,500 miles away for hours on end. In fact, days on end on the 2-meter band. But we aren't on 2 meters anymore.
That's 8,200-foot elevation. 8,200-foot. And we're about 25 miles west of the easternmost shore of the island, about in the center of the island. Signal strength still holding up in the garden.
Yeah, it sure is, Paul. Tell us what mode you're on and tell us what frequency, over.
Wow, so you see that the higher we go in frequency, sometimes the ducting gets better and better depending as to the amount of change of temperature, dew point of pressure within the duct. Many times the duct will support communications higher, better in frequency than lower in frequency, such as 2 meters.
Now, you're hearing your 1296 beacon in Los Angeles right now. I just heard that.
1296, okay. Made contact on 1296, 2,500 miles for days on end. What's the next band above 1296? Anybody know? 2.4 gig. Oh, yeah, this is great. He said we made a, he was doing code, and the word was a half-fast contact. So here we go. Now, here it is.
Kind of a half-fast contact. Anyway, no world record on 3,456.
We didn't stop at 2.4, we went to 3456, so 3,456 megahertz. Tropospheric ducting in the presence of a, what kind of system? High-pressure system will generally lead communications along the 1032 path for literally hundreds, if not thousands of miles. Tropospheric ducting. I encourage all of you to think that, you know, there's more than just what is out there on repeaters. So if you all work repeaters, and we all do, and they're great, maybe try some long-haul FM tropoducting. Need a good antenna. A beam would be helpful, but a nice Comet or Diamond or Cushcraft or Larson or any one of the quality antennas that you see here are good ones to be able to get into the tropo duct. Do I need hundreds of watts of power? No, believe it or not, 25 watts of FM power, sometimes even a handheld will work. Will they always hear me if I can hear them? If there's no one else on frequency, if you hear a station coming in from 5 land or 4 land, or if you ever hear 6 land, let me know. I doubt it because we don't usually get over the mountains. Then you may be taking advantage of tropospheric ducting. How do I know it's tropoducting rather than sporadic E? Well, sporadic E lasts real fast. Hi, W5ABC, WZ, come on. That was it. Oh, how'd you like it? Well, it lasted about 3 seconds. Tropoducting will come in, stabilize, and for hours and hours and hours, you will hear that distant repeater. Now, many times on the repeater, you really have to tell them, this is for real, gang. Listen to the weather service. And that's another one. You hear weather stations coming in for hundreds of miles away. So again, when we get this long haul, there you go. And a lot of people say, oh, it's sporadic E. No, it wasn't sporadic E. It was the weather condition called, what was it called again? Tropospheric ducting, sometimes called an inversion layer. In the presence of a what pressure system? High pressure. The inversion must be greater than 10 degrees. And generally, if you spot weather maps, you will find that there is a band of haze that is this very smoggy air. Many times you can see them on some of the new satellite photos. And once we have that temperature inversion, usually forming right above the haze, because as sun is coming down, it heats right above the clouds. That then superheats this area. So haze, smog, and clouds generally will support a temperature inversion right above it. The military will actually send balloons, and they'll see 10 to 12 degrees temperature inversion for only a couple of hundred feet. But those couple of hundred feet is where all the excitement takes place on VHF and UHF FM.
And that concludes our excerpt from a 1998 Dayton Hamvention talk by amateur radio writer and instructor Gordon West, WB6NOA. If you can catch Gordo speaking in a forum at an area hamfest, it will be worth the drive to see his entertaining presentation, whether it be live or virtual. Rain Hamcast Podcast number 74 will post August 20th, 2022. You'll find the not-for-broadcast video edition of this podcast on the Rain Report channel on YouTube. Copyright 1985-2022, Rain. The Radio Amateur Information Network. All rights reserved. Rain programming is made available under a Creative Commons license. You are encouraged to download, share, post, and transmit the Rain Hamcast in its entirety via amateur radio. Thanks to Tom Shimizu, N9JDI, for posting a not-for-broadcast version of these podcasts via the Rain Report channel on YouTube. Wishing you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. Keep on hamming.